Amanda.
Has everyone had a chance to spend some minutes?
Save time. I'm gonna pass this out.
Now I'm calling the order.
Motion.
Properly moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any questions? Motion carried. Public comments. Parents. Teachers.
All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
All right. We just had our fourth Saturday Academy session. We have two more remaining. Our boys and girls basketball team just ended this season. Our boys team, under the director, Mr. Shelton, finished undefeated. So let's give them a big round of applause. And our girls team under Mr. Belcher only lost one game. And that's their first loss in four seasons. So that's phenomenal. There are a large number of people who are on the staff who also help out, you know, with the basketball team. So I want to thank everybody on the staff who participate with assisting on the boys and girls side. We just had a group of 5th through 8th graders who attended the Arthur J. Turner Spelling Bee. And we had 10 students attend, am I correct?
Yes.
10 students. And in the final round, there were 10 spaces, slots in the final round. And of the 10 spots in the final round, 6 of them were from Edison. So we had 6 of the 10 in the final. And one of our 6th graders ended up 3rd in the at the Spelling Bee. Zion Triplett. So I want to give them a round of applause. And all of our staff members who helped out with that. My chess team is preparing to compete for the national championship in Tennessee in May. As you are aware, they are on the quest for their 3rd national title in 4 years. And our goal, again, is to raise the money for the trip so we don't have to ask the school or the board for any money. And it seems like we are on pace to be able to do that. Also, this weekend, some of our students, many of them received notices from Voltech High Schools, and many of them have been contacted by some private schools. So I want to congratulate our students, many of them who've been accepted on full scholarships to Padua, St. Elizabeth, Ursuline, Tatnall, Tower Hill, Wilmington Friends. Just got a young man in the Sally, sir. So, and there's the B plus, B positive foundation. You familiar with the B positive foundation?
Yeah. Not a whole lot, but
Joe McDonough, yeah. So he was here last week to interview one of our students. So he's actually given an additional $2,500 a year for 4 years, so $10,000, to one of our young men, Jahad Mitchell Kelson, who will be attending Sally's. We are beginning our Girls on the Run season, so we have over 30 girls participating. Last year was our first year, Girls on the Run, and we have a large number of staff members who volunteer and assist with that. So we appreciate your help. That culminates in a 5K run on the waterfront, and we by far had the most staff participation at that 5K at the end of the school year. And finally, we have some 7 education students who are continuing their practicum placements here at the school. And we have 1 student teacher from University of Delaware. If I'm not mistaken, is that our first student teacher from UD? It's our first student teacher. We have actually have a large contingent of University of Delaware graduates who teach here. Raise your hand if you're a UD grad here. Anybody UD? We have some that are not here tonight. But so we're hoping that we can turn that one student teacher into a one of our full-time teachers. On the operations side, we have received the quotes for replacing our fire alarm panel and equipment. We're also the control panel for our heating and cooling system is 17 years old. So that means we purchase it when we purchase the building. So as you know, technology has changed, so we're going to have to look at upgrading the software on our computer system that controls the heating and cooling. So we'll talk about that offline with building and operations, but we're getting quotes to begin look at changing that over. And that's it for right now. Any questions?
What is the probability of that number getting higher before the end of the school year? Is there any?
Well, remember, they don't do HQT anymore. We include it, but with the new ESSA, they don't do HQT anymore. Okay. It's a requirement. Our goal is always to get to 100%, but I do know we have one teacher who's out on maternity who needs to complete that, and then there may be one more that we need to get done with that. So it could improve before the end of the year. But again, that's well above what the average is for not only for charters but for the state as well. But we do that for our own edification in terms of including those numbers.
Do we have any vacancies?
No, we just filled our last vacancy. We had an interventionist in kindergarten we needed to fill, which is apropos.
Move acceptance of the principal's report.
Second. Move and second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
As you can see, we have received all of our local funding. We have a $56,000 negative unfavorable variance. That's due to the 10 less students than we had budgeted for. However, for our state funds, we have a positive variance of approximately $64,000. We are going to, well, we've actually already received this $100,000. So, and that is primarily due to just the increase for salaries as well as other things. And we did get the funds here. We did receive the funds for the Christina School District. And we will be getting those funds on an annual basis.
But those funds are designated, correct?
Yeah, they're designated for, yeah, they're restricted for 4 categories: kindergarten, technology, I think FES and gifted.
Say that again for
kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Special education, gifted, talented, and technology.
There's an unfavorable variance for food service.
Because we actually got a payment in later. We, as you can see, the November payment has not been recorded. It's always a timing difference, but we have received two payments for February, so we should be caught up in February.
And Pat, remind me again, is there something specific that drives the computer equipment software?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, for our Title I funds, we usually don't spend all of them in the fiscal year. So we got a call that they wanted us to start using more of the Title I funds because when the following year comes, they don't want us to have more funds than they think that we should have. So what they did is they allowed us to purchase other things that weren't provided for in the grant, and one of those things was technology.
So is that partially offset? So it looks like Title I so has a big variance positive.
Right,
so
and that's why. Mm-hmm. Now next year we won't have that more Title I fund.
Gotcha.
Because we'll be more caught up.
This might be Principal Oil, and the only reason I ask, I know last Pat meeting, there was money the campus provided for the chess team. Is mm-hmm. this money? Was
so that wouldn't be in there yet. But that is pending, though, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I should comment on that.
Any other questions on the school financials? Motion to approve.
Second.
Properly moved and second. Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. Finance Committee Board. But this is through January 2017. Includes everything that we've done to date. So you're able to see our balances. And this has kind of been a low time period. We haven't spent much of anything outside of the holiday party in December, which was about 3,700. Outside of that, it's been pretty okay. We have conferences coming up in the spring. Certainly would ask the board to see if the fundraising comes in for chess, what we might be able to do to assist with that. And outside of that, just preparing for any expenditures that could come up. And like you say, we got another building from Holmesy. Yep, so outside of that, we're just trying to be conservative and prepare for anything for the school that we might have to jump in and assist with.
I have one question, and maybe that's for you and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
The Holmesy situation. How did that happen?
I have no idea.
I went through all my files. I could not find one.
We didn't have an open
balance.
No, we paid just under... $300,000, and to the best of my knowledge and the bills they provided, that had been free and clear since September of 2016, so I'm not really sure
where this came from. So I put a call into Chuck, and I called him at his job, and I called him on his cell, and he has not returned my call.
Have you looked at the earlier bills to see if they cross the agenda?
I did.
I haven't gone through each bill.
It looks like TBS did some additional paperwork or something and passed it on to Holmes, and they're passing it on to us.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking that may have happened. You remember back when we had the problem with having to go back on the roof, mm-hmm. the lower end over here where the kindergarten is. And I got the thought came to me, they had to go back up there and do some work that was left undone. And I'm just wondering if they backdoored us with that bill.
Or they got hit with a bill in LA.
Yeah.
Hot potato, given to Edison. Yeah.
So my mind says that that's probably what happened.
Have we paid them?
No, just this last
their question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that wasn't the case, but we certainly have paid them for them. I think that what we need to do is see whether or not that cost was possibly factored into some of the other bills.
And it's definitely something after the fact, because when I'm paying how many person who usually meets me at my job and tells me if we have anything left. And our last conversation was, this would be the last check. So it's obviously something that we question.
Very good.
But there's no other questions. My comment in last month that I wanted to meet during this month, but as you know, the entire month between our last meeting and now has been focused on teacher pay, you'll get a lot more about this later, so I don't really want to get into it, but we pretty much were meeting weekly on teachers, so we put the fundraising on the back seat to address the situation. So we'll pick up with this. Hopefully we've resolved this and we've laid the good road ahead. But like I said, we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Well, and I will say that we do have, and we certainly want to thank the brothers of Kappa Upsilon Fraternity for their contribution to the chess team. They're basically picking up roughly about half the cost. They're going to make a contribution of $11,000. So so that is in the process. Paperwork has been submitted, and hopefully other fraternities that might be around me. If not, welcome. They all try hard.
Don't forget the sororities.
But yes, thank you. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
Property moved and second. Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. Curriculum.
Okay, the school is wrapping up Black History Month, and in visiting the school on Friday, I came in because the fourth grade had their Black History Showcase. And if you notice some of the posters on the board over there and over here, a number of the students had, each student in the fourth grade had to produce a chart on particular Black history leader. And I found it very informative. I enjoyed it. There was one fact that I was surprised to learn. There was a Black car manufacturer back in 1915.
Oh, really?
Yeah. the Ohio area. So that's like named Patterson. He was a slave. And I didn't remember that either.
He was a slave in 1915?
Yeah, 1915.
Former slave.
Former slave.
Former slave. That's an alternative fact. And Ron was setting you up too. Didn't he? Like
so,
that.
But the school had been, I just wanted to comment, the school had done a number of things this year concerning Black history. I think each day they identified a different individual that the classes had to, the teachers basically talked about, either read a story or did something with that individual. That was good. And then they've had a field trip where they went to Hidden Figures. So we saw a play
on Jackie Robinson as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Took fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Mm-hmm. Seventh grade, eighth grade.
So this has been a very active. This is. I'm sure when you were in school, Mr. Blackstone, this may have ranked right up there with you and were at school.
I'm extremely proud.
When you were back there with Carl G. Woodson.
Come on.
What are they trying to say? I told you never to say that.
But I'm really happy that Edison has stepped up to really include that as an active part of kids learning.
Oh, yeah. I want to thank the staff because they've been very active in there, and I constantly hear complaints from other principals and other parents where there's some schools that really feel that it doesn't need to be celebrated at this point in life, but our staff really definitely supported that. Ms. DiMatteo, one of our new, I don't know if she's here today or not, but she actually sends out a weekly email. I ain't even tell you what she did yet. She might have hacked into my email. You clap. But she sends out an email to staff with slides on Black History Month with ideas. And that's just the kind of staff that we have here, support one another. And that's in learning as well, you know, as growing to help you know, other kids. So that's just one example of what the staff is doing. So I'm proud of all of them.
No,
no.
Upcoming event mentioned before. Right now, the fourth grade is looking to have on Thursday, March 23rd, a multiplication bee. And that's going to be right now the schedule for the afternoon at 2:15 to 3:15 in the school cafeteria. And then the date that really would like you to reserve would be Friday, April 28th. And that would be the first annual Thomas Edison Charter School Leadership. And that'll be from 9 to 12. So, and as mentioned before, that's basically, and so from the board point of view, we need to first identify some individuals. I mentioned this at the last meeting, and if you come prepared with your list of seven people, you know, I would accept it, ma'am. You can give it to me later. There is a need for financial donations for food, any funding for a keynote speaker, the possibility of T-shirts for kids, depending on what is raised, and there may be a need to have funding for chair rentals. But again, more detail will be following on that.
Is that the April 20?
That's the April 20. April 20.
And with seven people
here? Well, to show up.
Oh, just to visit.
Just to visit. Okay. Just to be here. I don't know if you want to comment more on that. I think you were looking for about 100 people.
Yes.
So Ron,
you're looking for 100 people too.
Yeah, so if you
attend,
know,
we invite. Yeah, we invite. I mean, we're inviting a large number of people from the community. We just want to make sure if there are people on your Rolodex
yeah.
that you want to be here to see what the kids and staff are doing. We will send them.
So I mentioned this to a few people. Is there a formal
if you get if you give us the name,
your email addresses.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we email.
And we're gonna have some printed ones also. Okay.
Right, and go ahead.
Could you send what your plan is, I guess, to the board, and then if this is going to be a program, could you kind of send that to us so we can let folks know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've definitely started kind of spreading the word. So yeah, I can provide like a list in here. I don't know if it'll be like a physical invitation or email.
It's going to be an email invite, an email invite, and a hard
so
copy invitation.
Take an email or a physical address.
And so we email it to you, and you can email it because I know you got some big timers in your Rolodex.
I'm not a pinker. But and in terms of the actual event, I'll certainly see Pat and offer my personal donation. Encourage us to support in that regard if we can, because I mean it should be something that we do next.
Right, and the soft program is basically we'll have some food and a reception. Folks will start coming around 9. I know I have people here that are on different committees, so please chime in from your committee if there's something that I'm not correct on or I get out of place. But we had a meeting last week. We had a staff meeting to discuss the program, and I think we looked at kind of starting around 9 o'clock, and then we're inviting Joe Biden, we're inviting Devin Still, he's from the community, to come in and try to come in as potential speakers. And then we look, what are some of the activities we talked about students performing?
We're going to have like a chess exhibition, cheerleading, basketball.
Student speeches.
Student work,
it's a show, right? And then folks will go, and it's all student run. So the students lead the tours of the building. Students are speakers. Students are performing. So I think our choir will be performing. Our band will be performing.
Drum line.
I'm sure there'll be some artwork going because we have some awesome art teachers. I'm sure there'll be some artwork on display. I'm sure I got an awesome fourth grade team. I'm sure that all the projects and things they're working on, Ms. Downey and make sure, and Ms. Jones, everybody, she's trying to save every kid in the building. We'll make sure we have all their things on display. And then I think we're trying to end with maybe like a video, short maybe video history of the school, maybe some performance, you know, toward the end. But it's really a way for people in the community to really find out what's happening, because the view from the outside of the school is much different than the view from the inside of the school looking out. People to really come in and see all the wonderful things happening and the people who are here, and a chance to hear it from the student voice, which is rarely heard. And we're 7 Habits, Leader Meets School, and that's what it's all about, building student leadership, building a strong culture in the building. And we want to be able to give our students an opportunity to be able to exhibit that leadership in a very powerful way, because they pretty much will function as the leaders in the school for pretty much running the school that that day. And that's the first step toward becoming a lighthouse school in the Franklin Covey sort of ladder success. And they have these schools all around the world that are Leader Me schools, and very few reach lighthouse status. And the first step is to host your leadership day, and we're hoping to become a lighthouse school. We'll be the first. We'll be the first Leader Me school in the Wilmington area, and we'll be the first, hopefully be the first leader lighthouse school in the city as well.
And just for clarity purposes, so there's a 3-hour program. Is it a full 3 hours, or is it like 1 hour increments that starts over again, like 9 o'clock, is more 10 o'clock starts over again, 9 o'clock starts over again, or you want folks to stay here for like 3 hours?
No. That's actually a good question, right? Because we talked about that in our meeting. So it is going to cycle like that, but the activities will rotate. So they'll run, then they'll run again, the same one, so that folks don't have to, again, stay. Because most people won't be able to stay from 9 to 12.
So, right. Yeah, you can drop in. It's sort of like an open house.
If they kind of know when each thing is going to start, like it's going to be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. then they can show up for one of those three.
Right.
Rather than trying to get some of these folks to try to stay 3 hours.
Right, yeah, we don't, yeah. Right, yeah. Folks, yeah, so we don't, you know, my general belief is that most people will be able to come for about an hour and then have to leave.
Yes.
So you can come at 9 o'clock and not really miss what's going to happen at 11 other than maybe the end 5-10 minute keynote. You could come at 11 or 12 and not really miss what happened at 9 except maybe whatever the opening keynote. We expect to have food, you know, throughout the day as well. And we're going to set up a green room for our VIPs who come. So we'll have a separate, out of the staff lounge will be the VIP lounge that day. And we'll set up, so we'll have refreshments there for folks that come who may not get any privacy if they're in the gym where everybody else is. They don't get a chance to eat. Everybody want to shake your hand. They want to autograph, want to take a picture. So a lot of times they need a room where they can just be able to eat and do what they need to do, then come out and sort of interact with the public.
Sounds great. I went to something, I mean, this is at college level, but something very similar to this for Dell State. When I was at Barclays, they had like a whole group of us, and we went and missed Dell State and Mr. Dell State, like talked, and students were doing all these things. It was entirely student driven. It was very powerful.
Right.
So, I mean, on a smaller scale and younger students, sounds very similar.
Right. But in public education, what it does for us is it gives us a platform to be able to raise money.
Absolutely.
To be able to campaign and, you know, say to folks, this is what's happening in our school, you know, support our, right, look at the great things that are happening, let's support so that we can, you know, raise the level of what, you know, what we're doing.
So tell me,
what are you advertising?
How are we advertising?
We
actually have a committee, don't we? Who's on that committee? Who's on it? Anybody want to be shy now? Who's on? You, Ms. Davis, what's the name of your committee? The media? Yeah. So they're actually going to be producing video clips about the school and about Leadership Day, video press releases, longer written press releases, and that'll go out to the local media as well as the national media. They want to try to use my social media platform, but I charge for that. So we'll have to talk about that. But we do have a committee. We basically have a committee for almost every part of that day. Okay. All the staff have committed to really supporting this and making sure that this comes off in a big way. So it's like, you know, a long time ago there was a song called "I'm Coming Out." So some of these young people may not remember. I don't know who sang that.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross. We coming out that day. We coming out that day. What's wrong, Hal? Bring it back memories.
That ends my report.
I'm gonna take that as a yes.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to accept the curriculum report as presented.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
Now I also want to comment to go ahead.
Any abstentions?
And I want to thank Mr. Cooper as a board member, because Cooper's come in and has very been actively involved in the school and really coming in and finding out what it is we may need or what it is that he can offer. I know he's in retirement, but he's really hit the ground running. And I've had more than one or two people say to me that they really appreciate that. So we really appreciate that, Mr. Cooper.
And when is that the chess championship? It's May, by the way.
8th to 10th to 16th. May 10th to the 16th. Grand Opera Land in Nashville.
10th to the 16th.
You checking your availability?
Yeah, I might pull a pull my
phone
in the middle.
6 days. Yeah, because we take the bus down.
Yeah.
So that's one day already.
Yeah.
Up, that's 2 days up, you know, up and back. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the tournament. And then on Monday, we usually take the students to see some sites in the area and come back.
Is that Nashville?
It's in Nashville, yes, sir. That's about a 14, 16-hour bus ride. Try sleeping on a bus. Murder. Mr. Tommy, Mr. Durant, they enjoy that.
On the 16th, I believe it was, of this month, we had a meeting with the teachers to, it was more of an informational session as far as what the personnel committee had planned to present to the board for vote. Tonight, we are going to vote on what has been proposed to the board. What has been proposed is effective March the 1st, which off the record is my birthday, that the teachers will receive a 2% raise, and that we will also implement our step system. Is that two different motions, or is that?
No, they're the same, but the step system will be implemented the following.
Yeah, that won't take
the following school year. Okay, right.
Need a motion?
That was the motion.
Second.
It's properly moved and seconded. Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. Anything else from the personnel?
Yes, we did explain to the teachers, and it's just good to see all of you here tonight, by the way, that we are also looking at our paraprofessionals and the nurse and other persons that were not included in this process that we went through for the raises, and to look at salaries. And we hopefully will have information gathered enough that we can vote in our April meeting for those individuals.
So just to give a little summary, the STEP system, which would be incorporated, will be shared with the administration probably tomorrow. I won't promise that we'll get it in the meeting. And then certainly as you are in your passing, you may touch base with them or chat with them, and they can distribute it accordingly. But the system that we're looking to implement will be very similar to what the districts do and what other charters do.
Is support going to be included in there?
Yes, that's what Reverend Ward just said, and that we haven't finished with them yet. Keep in mind that we're doing apples to apples. So certainly we hope to have that hopefully next month.
I just had, I guess, one question. So, and I guess this is the elephant in the room, and let's just put it all out on the table. So the original 1.5%, it was made clear at the meeting on the 16th that whole idea was scrapped, right? It was just like, this does not replace that, this does not interfere with that, that idea was scrapped. But I think that 1.5% included some very important people. So for example, the paraprofessionals and the administrators, literally every state employee would have gotten the 1.5%, but for the paraprofessionals, it was actually a little bit more. It turned out to be $750 per person. So it was made clear that it wasn't going to happen, and the reason being is because the board was not legally obligated to do that. That was that was essentially the explanation. You weren't legally obligated to do it, so essentially it's not going to happen. So I guess legally obligated is somewhat of a reason, but I was wondering, and this is a two-part question, if we could get a little bit more clarification as to the specific reasons why. And then furthermore, since it was explained that the state essentially sent the money over, then what is that $750 per person going to be used for instead of basically giving it to them? Because as a paraprofessional, and I look up, I say, whoa, there was a check with my name on it for $750. I'm not getting it. So where is it actually going? So just a little clarification for our understanding to know what is actually happening to that money. And more specifically, I know we're not legally obligated to give it to us, right? That, I mean, it's cold-blooded, but I guess that's the world we live in. But more specifically, why? Why and where is it going?
Okay. Let me address this a couple of different ways. One, this matter was shared with the state, and this is a direct quote from the Department of Education. There was no requirement to pass the increase on to employees since charter schools are not bound by the same rules as the districts. That's from the Department of Education.
Right. You're not legally obligated.
Let me finish, please. Second, I think one of the fundamental issues was trying to look at some type of pay system, which is fair, competitive, and something that the school is actually able to do. That, I think, has been accomplished with the implementation. What I will also make very, very clear, no one is saying that paras won't get anything. What I am saying is that, folks, I hope that you understand that we do things in a very deliberate fashion, and that when you talk about raising salaries, those are ongoing costs. Those costs have to be funded. It's not just a one-time deal. So coming up with something that is fair, equitable, and also affordable is what we are looking to implement. And quite frankly, that goes through the whole ranks. And it does take time. I mean, wish that I could say there was six or seven of them, but there isn't. So to have this process implemented fairly and implemented right, I think definitely needs to be done.
With all due respect, I feel like you just did not answer the question. So there was a two-part question. One, the real reason why. I mean, there are pairs in this room. I feel like we can look them in the eye and give them a straight up answer. I don't have the answer. People have been coming to me asking. I don't have the answer. So the real reason why, and like just a frank, straight up answer, why not? And then the other one is, what happened? Where's the money then if we're not using it?
Okay, now you guys do realize that you're funded for the whole school year, right? And that when you get funded, you don't get funded based on your costs. We're not on a cost reimbursement system. So you get funded right up front, and that funding has to be spread across your whole 12-month cycle. Now, you could certainly do something that certainly would not be prudent business wise, and that you could spend it all right up front. And then when it comes to the latter months, you may have difficulty meeting your bills. That is not a place that we are looking to be. Now, I would love to be able to be able to tell you that this is a quick thing, you can do it just like that, but it does have to be counted. And all impacts have to be factored in.
So you're saying that, I'm just trying to read between the lines, because it's not like a straight up answer that the school, even though the money was given to the school could
now,
not.
Let's get clarity there, because that's not a totally accurate statement. In that we are funded per student. That's done every single year. We weren't giving anything extra.
Well, in the financials, when she went over the financials, she said that there was an additional $100,000 from the state for
Christina.
No, there was an additional money for teacher salary. So
included in the uniform.
So the state did give us, and we talked about this at the other meetings. Let's like not pretend we didn't have that conversation. The state did give us money to take care of that. Are you saying that they didn't?
What I'm saying is they did not give us separate funding. Right. And that our unit count went up, but the unit count went up everywhere. Everywhere. So let's just say that your unit count last year was $100 per student. Your unit count this year might be $110 per student. Keep in mind that your costs also went up. And that if you gave raises, someone that was making X is now making Y. So it's not money that is not being utilized. Wish that I could tell you it's just sitting in a pot.
Yeah, so let's try this. Does anybody have the financials that Pat sent us by chance?
Well, I don't.
Can you pass some to pass one to the teacher?
All the mid sized and passed out, maybe. I don't know which one.
They got one there.
Yeah. So let's just use that as an example. So keep in mind that this was something that was found out after the fact. It's not like something came and said, Ms. Winder, this is for your teachers. What happened was, in July of 2016, we were given a lump sum of 3.1 million. If you look at the unit formula and you go over, we have actuals through January 31st, 2017. So you kind of have, in the first column, you kind of have what we budgeted. In the second column, that is after January 2017, you have actuals through January 1st, and then you have a variance. So, I mean, the question I feel being asked is, where's the money? You guys got this money, pick it up and pass it on. And what I'm trying to express to you is it's not that simple, nor does it work like that. We were given funds in July with no notice until October that this was something that was going on. And if you could look at the variance there, we were already 10 students less than what was budgeted. We get paid about 10 grand a student. We were 10 students left. That's about 100 grand. So there is no money. This isn't to say that we shouldn't figure it out. We shouldn't come up with a plan. Because I believe that we should do both and will do both of those things. What I want to communicate is there is no money just sitting somewhere. This was part of a formula that was given that didn't even meet what we budgeted. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like someone gave you, you're expecting to get paid $200, and you get paid $180, and then you go on about your business, and down the line someone says, oh, yeah, and that $180 was XYZ. Where's that? And you're like, what? I was expecting $200. We came in under what we budgeted. We came in under what we forecast. So we were underfunded. So I just want to dispute the notion that there's some, and I'll get to your question, but I have to emphatically dispute the notion that there are some funds that we just didn't have, that we just are kind of sitting on. I want to be clear that we did not meet the funds that we thought we would get before we even knew about a raise. Now, that doesn't mean that isn't deserved. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't come up with a plan. But what I'm saying to you is, as of the end of January, we're about 36 grand less than we expected to be in July of this year.
Just really quickly, I mean, you saying that you found out after the fact, and as a teacher, I find that a little concerning, just because.
As do I.
Right, but so. As, and I mean no disrespect here, but as a board, isn't it part of their responsibility to see how that money is allocated. If something's coming in new from the state, I mean, I feel like a lot of the teachers have taken a heavy hand in talking about the 1.5% because we were reading the news, right? And I feel like why is it that teachers and more importantly our paraprofessionals being punished for something that wasn't a mistake that we committed?
Let me kind of touch base on that. Let me first say, keep in mind, you know, and this is for you math folks, you're gonna love this. Okay. You got a 2% increase at the beginning of the year. Okay? If we use the same methodology that we are talking about now and did 1.5 based on what was funded by the state for salaries. Keep in mind, only about half of your salaries is actually funded by the state.
That's
75%.
Not even
50%. Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you would get an increase on 1.5% of half of your salary, or would you want a 2% increase on all of your salary?
But that's retroactive, right? The 1.5% is retroactive, whereas the 2% is going to start in March. So
No. You started out this school year already with a 2% increase.
Yes.
You are now getting another 2% on top of that.
When you say you just meant the 46 teachers are getting 2%, or is everybody getting the 2%?
Everybody, okay.
So all power professionals?
Hold on. Okay. So in the beginning of the school year, everyone got a 2% increase. Okay? We are now saying that teachers are going to also get another 2% increase.
So that's my point. You say this 2% increase is going to be for the 46 teachers.
Right now.
As of now.
Okay, but the only thing we're saying, and I think we mean no disrespect because we understand and we love the new proposal. What we are saying is difficult for us to celebrate something when you're talking about 46 people and we have 80 staff members. And I think that's what's difficult. And maybe we could have waited until we had a proposal for everybody. Before you presented it, but it's difficult to come and say, well, this, because what it is that we work together with everyone. We're a staff, and it feels now this like, well, teachers are getting this and this, and that's how it's feeling. And I don't think that was your intention, but what's coming, what it feels like now, it's like, well, teachers, and this, like, it's becoming a little contentious only because now it's been discussed teachers, and we have a staff of 80 people, and that, I don't know if that was, and I'm not saying that was the intention, but I'm saying that's what's coming across. So it's making us a little uncomfortable to get excited about something when you're looking at, you're sitting across the table from somebody you work with daily, and they have nothing to get excited about.
Knowing that, I think
the reason why we keep talking about the 1.5% is everybody could have gotten that without a discussion or debate. So it was, I think that's the reason why. So we don't mean to harp at the 1.5%. What we're trying to say is 1.5% was for all, whereas this seems very divisive and it's kind of making, and I don't think that was your intention.
Correct.
So that's what we're trying to present. That maybe you could have waited until the whole entire staff was going to be taken care of and then presented something that took care of the Edison staff. Because at this point, we're 80 staff strong. Nurse, whatever, that's who we are.
Would you like for us to wait? No, I'm just saying, that's ridiculous. Let's just be honest about, like, waiting. I don't think that's what we're saying. I feel like this initially coming out the gate, this is a zero-sum loss situation, right? And I feel like the way that it was basically handled from inception and from when we first brought it to you, when we got flat out, it's basically ignored on an email to the meeting when we said we're going to have a meeting, talk about it in January, and then now March, and then at the last meeting is tell the paraprofessionals we're going to work on it in 3 months. Like, we get it. The putting together a salary pay scale was important. It was probably something that should have been done a long time ago. But we appreciate the fact that you put in the work and you got it done. But that, like, I feel like what is happening is, like, it feels like you're peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining, right? And the fact of the matter is, this is something that could have been done. Like, why are we fighting over it? It's like, it's almost ridiculous. It makes me, in some ways, resentful of the whole operation. Like, why are we fighting over peanuts? This was something that could have been done. I shouldn't have to have a conversation with the paraprofessionals about why the board couldn't do it. We should be able to get a straight answer about it. The more we dance around, and I'm saying it, but believe, there are other people who are thinking it, right? So we shouldn't have to dance around in circles and beg for this one when it just should kind of have happened. It was an easy fix. Like, we shouldn't be here in March having this conversation about why it couldn't happen or why it shouldn't happen. What we could be working on is how we could bridge the gap, which you guys did, and we appreciate that. Like, put a plan together to do that. But to still be running around in circles wondering why the paraprofessionals and the interventionists couldn't get the 700. And it doesn't just include them. It includes the nurse. It includes the librarian. It includes administrators. It includes everybody in the building. So why do we have to, like, why do we have to play this game? Why can't it just get done? And if it can't get done, be straight up. When we email, say, listen, we're not, and what you gave us, we're not legally obligated. Like, that tone is like, you know how many things we do in this building that we're not legally obligated to do? We're not legally obligated to do the leader in me. I'm not legally obligated to leave my family for a week every year to travel with the chess team. So let's not sit here and say what we're legally obligated to do. That is insulting. And all right, you get it. That's fair. We're not legally obligated to do it. There are a lot of things that we're not legally obligated to do. But, like, let's not pretend that there's an immoral or as a school, we get an education. It's like a family. Do you tell your son you're not legally obligated to take him to the park? Like, are you kidding me? It's just something you do for family. So maybe we're not family. Maybe I'm looking at it all wrong. And this whole process has opened my eyes to a lot of different things. Like, we go to battle every single day. We drive down Vandiver. Some of us dodge bullets. You know, it's the truth. We're not legally obligated to do that. So when you say, listen, the state, and you're reading a quote from the state, we're not legally obligated to do it, that makes me feel like, well, no, none of us are legally obligated to be here. We're here because we love it. So, like, why do we have to do this song and dance? And I know I'm emotional right now, but this is an emotional thing. I don't want to make this my last year here. I want to be here for everybody, and I want to work with the kids here. But this whole legally, it's insulting to the core of why I went into education. And if you can't do it, it's one thing. Sorry, son, I can't buy you your toy for Christmas, right? But if I told him I'm not legally obligated, come on. Like, are we family or are we legal? I don't even know what it's called. Legal. Come on.
Can I speak to that? This is a process that when we first started, we had no idea how consuming it would be as far as time, and we did it. It had to be done at some time or another, and now we're doing it. Could it have been done earlier? Yes. But it is what it is. We are doing it now. And hopefully we won't have to go through this again. And prayerfully, as long as it took us to get it to you, you know, you appreciate the process. And the paraprofessionals and all the other employees, I'm sure, will appreciate the process. This is the only time we're going to go through this. So, I mean, right now, it is what it is. And we're going to get through this. The board is. And we're going to make sure that everybody is being paid and getting the money that they should get. But this is where we are right now. And we can go around and around and around Robin Hood's barn with these comments and this, you know, this conversation. It's not going to get us anywhere. We're on it now. Finally, we're on it. And we're going to get it done. And once it's done, it'll be over. Nobody is being overlooked. Nobody is being cheated. And I assure you, it's just a process that we're going through now. And once we get through it, it'll be over.
If I may speak to that, as a paraprofessional, this is a career that I chose. Thomas Edison is a place that I chose to come to. It was not something that I had to do. I live 35 miles outside of the city. I live in Abiquimini. I was offered plenty of positions, a couple of positions within Abiquimini, but I chose to come to Thomas Edison. And as Principal L says, I want to save all the children. That was my reason for being here. I grew up in the city. I know their struggles. You know, and I felt that I could do more help here than in Abiquimini. But if I'm not valued, then I don't need to be here. So when you're making your decisions, please remember that. I don't have to be here, but I choose to be here.
And we feel that way about every one of you. It's just that where we are in this process, it had to happen, and it's happening now. And in the end, I really believe all of you are going to be satisfied. Unfortunately, you can't all celebrate right now together, and I wish it were not that way. You just can't. I mean, you'd have no idea what we had to go through to get to where we are now.
So we're just asking you, trust the process.
And I know you may feel as though you don't want to trust the process.
I don't trust the process at all. I hope you're doing better than that.
We blew it.
No.
But we're asking you at this time, trust the process.
We're going to do right by all of you. Believe you me, the teachers, paraprofessionals, and everybody, we're going to do right by everybody. All right? Hopefully, again, by April, we'll have a proposal that we'll be voting on for the other employees, and I just hope you'll be pleased.
You made a proposal for just, maybe I missed something, but you made one proposal for one part of the staff.
Right.
If you found money for one part of the staff, how come you didn't find money for
the other? Well, we didn't find the money yet. That's the other issue. We haven't found the money yet.
But can you understand what? Can you understand how a person feels when you found that you had something for somebody else, and then you tell me, like I'm not good with numbers. All I know is on one half, one person is getting paid; on the other half, this person isn't, and that's what it really boils down to. And you said I found that you tell me you didn't find the money.
No,
I'm
we
saying
didn't.
From where we're sitting, you found money for one part of staff, you didn't find it for the other.
Yeah.
And my thing was, if you could have found it for the whole staff, and this wouldn't have been we wouldn't be having this conversation. I just don't think it was fair that y'all made a proposal without including the whole staff. I really that was my biggest issue. If you had said we didn't have it for the whole staff, that's fine. But for you to take one part of staff and not do the other, I just don't think that was fair.
And you live and you learn. You know, that's something I honestly had not considered. I thought that, we would kind of accomplish one thing, and then we would accomplish the next. And I honestly, when I walked in here, I was like, we're in a good place. I honestly did not realize it would be would be viewed that way. So that's definitely a learning experience on our part.
That's an animosity you don't need.
Right.
Everybody's focused on kids. Kids have enough issues.
Right.
We don't need any issues between us. Mm-hmm. And that's what that creates. Not saying it's going to happen, because we all family. I love everybody in this room. But I'm saying the perception.
I will apologize for the board if that is the consensus of you all for what we've done or what we've tried to do. It was not our intention to bring any type of division or whatever amongst the staff. We are trying to do it in a systematic way, not realizing how it would affect the whole. So please forgive us. We're gonna complete this process. It'll only be done this time, and that's it. We won't have these conversations anymore.
I'm going to apologize for being late, everybody. As you all know,
My name is Jerry Velasquez, and I've been on this board quite a long time, and also have very much a vested interest in this school. I have put three kids through this school that have all graduated from this school. What's very concerning about this entire dialogue that we're all having, and I'm going to speak as a board member, is this, that I don't want the teachers and the staff to lose sight of the fact this. It is not the board's responsibility, and nor do we really truly want to be your HR department. And I think that that's an important concept for everyone to get in their heads. It is not us that sit across from you guys when it's review time or when it's contract negotiation time or meet out the various races that you've all done historically. We have been put in this particular position right now that is equally as uncomfortable for myself as it is probably for you guys, because as a board, we do not want to have this kind of hands-on operation with either the staff or the administration of the school. The fact that we are here now, it is equally uncomfortable for the board as it probably is for all of us to have this type of dialogue. So I think what my fellow board members are trying to say, that as difficult of a conversation that it may be, okay, as in any family, it is sometimes a very bittersweet thing to have a nasty, drawn-out, no-hold-barred conversation, okay? But you come out of it a much better family for it. So, in that respect, I want everyone to not lose sight of that fact, that as a board member, I don't want to be negotiating with guys' salary. We're not here to figure out what it is that you guys do every day. There are other people here that have that role. And I just feel that there's been a lot of misinformation, as Kevin has been articulating consistently, and we are trying to work our way, navigate our way through this. But understand this, that it's a very difficult conversation whenever you talk about salary. I don't think there's any easy way to talk about it other than to face up to it. So the numbers are the numbers. To the extent that we have gone south and we have gone sideways, okay, this board is very much committed on trying to resolve this issue, okay? It is a task that we're not comfortable with, okay? But we've been put in this role, and we're going to get there. So to the extent that we have 50% of the solution, the other 50% will come, okay? All that we've been hearing is that why is it that we don't know or why is it that we didn't act? It is very important for you guys to understand that as the board, okay, we're not the first in line to receive information. The check does not come to Ron Pinkett or this board member, okay? So just understand that many times we have to play catch-up also with information based upon the information that we get, and we have to process it also. So to that extent, I'm hoping, just like it happens on many a Thanksgiving dinners, you know, where families get into the discussion, okay, where we can work our way through this discussion, and understand that we're not trying to pit one against the other, but there's just no quick, fast fix here. So with that, I'm going to shut up. Thank you.
I get what you're saying. You're saying that it's not the board's responsibility to be our HR department, but it is the board that does control the financials of the school, and I think that it is important that they are informed about certain things. And it's also a board responsibility to fundraise for the school, and I think that's a big piece. Staff has already been told twice that if we wanted to fundraise for the school, we can go out and write grants ourselves. So there are a lot of things that we are doing that's not our responsibility, but we're that we're not legally obligated to do, but we're doing it. And I understand you guys have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things on your plate, but we're also trying to do, live our lives too, do things that we're not legally obligated to do. And I just think that we're kind of circling around an issue about legal obligation and just passing the buck about responsibility. But there is a huge responsibility upon the board in terms of raising funds and, you know, making sure that I think with the whole issue with paraprofessionals, we're talking about over nearly $29,000 that paraprofessionals are not getting. And as a teacher, it really hits me
in a really negative way. So
can, let me, I don't want to try to settle the issue.
Folks, we got,
okay, yeah. But
one more minute on this.
The whole concept of the $750, you have to kind of understand that a little differently than what you hear or what you've read, because it was not $750 per paraprofessional that came to the school.
If it wasn't 700, I don't want to present alternate facts, but if it wasn't $750 per paraprofessional that came, then what did come then?
Can you explain that a little, Pat?
Well, it all comes down to how we're funding. We're not, they don't give us, like if you see what is provided for from the state, we don't get for each teacher that amount from the state. What they look at is how many students we have, you know, all the details of running the school, and they say, but with your students, you should have X amount of teachers, and for those teachers, you get X amount of dollars. So it's not, and like you heard before, that we're not funded by the state for every position. So some of the paras, because of the number of students we have, if we were to get the 750, we wouldn't get it for everybody. So that's what he means when he says that we don't get 750 for each and every person from the state.
Just the assumptions that's made, pretty much they look at your school size and they come up with what they think you should be staffed at, right? We may have more than that. We do have more than that. And then they say, based on what we think you should be staffed for, here is what you're... So it's this notion that they counted every teacher in here and they said, this is what you get. How many do you have? You have X amount. That's not how it works. I just got to be honest with you. It's not how it works. They say you have a student of, you have a student body of 740. If you had a teacher per class, we figure you would have this amount support system. Here's what we'll get for that. That may come to 20. This is where you come into the difference between a charter and a district, right? Because we choose to have a good student to teacher ratio, right? So because of that, we don't necessarily fit into the prototypical X number of students, X number of employees. So that is why we just got to think through this. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Pinkett because we can't be here all night. But I just want to reiterate that we didn't intentionally do that. We didn't come here thinking that we had did it. We just kind of looked at it. My job, when we roll things out, we say, okay, we're going to start with exempt employees and we're going to start with non-exempt. And then we're going to cover this, you know, and that's the way I kind of viewed this. And I realize now that wasn't really received as how I would have it received. But this is not to say that paras won't be taken care of. It's just to say that we're not prepared with a plan to do that.
And the bottom line to all of this is we're trying to say as nicely as we can, when I said trust the process, we were talking about the internal process of what we do here at Edison. We try to make sure that the support that kids are getting here, like they don't get anywhere else. And you have to trust the process. I know it was funny when I said it, but we do it differently than other schools do it, as far as the spread is concerned.
Excuse me one second, sir. Mr. Vasquez made a statement on public record, and I feel it's my duty to be able to answer because I don't want the staff to leave misinformed. But he did state that there are people here in the HR department that have the ability to negotiate salaries. That has never been the case since I've been here at Thomas Edison since 2010. Every year the board has approved a percentage raise for the staff, and we have to deliver that to the staff. Now, if I'm mistaken, please correct me. But there's no one at the administrative level, HR, or at Ms. Winder's level who has the ability or empowered by the board to be able to negotiate anybody's salary. And I don't think the staff should leave here feeling that we had the ability. I don't know if anybody else heard that. And that may not have been your attention. But what I heard was that there are people at the school level that before it comes to the board that have the ability that to negotiate your salary. I do not have that ability. My team does not have that ability. The HR department doesn't have that ability. We have supported the process because, and the staff has supported it because they understood that we had to keep the school open. So whenever we come to you and say, this is what we'd like to do for our staff, you say, this is what we can do, please deliver to the staff. And we deliver to the staff every year, whether they're going to like it or not, we deliver it to them. I would love to have that ability to be able to do that. But we also know that we need to be able to keep our school open and be consistent and fair. That's why we came up with this pay scale. But I do not want any staff member to leave here today believing or thinking that there was somebody in this building with you every day that had the ability to give you a raise and did not give you that raise. Because if they did, they would have, because the board will tell you, we have fought for you for this 1.5 more than anybody else. We have really have, to the point where we said, it's for state employees, but we don't want the 1.5. Take care of the staff. But we do not have that ability, and we never have had it. And I want you to understand it. And I needed that to be on the record. I didn't want to make the meeting any longer, but I need that to be publicly. I need that to be on public record. We don't have that ability and never have had that ability.
Well, I don't want to debate this either, so let me just say, just going exactly with what you said, you come before the board and say you want to give the board 2%, you want to give your staff 2% raise, and that's what the board acts on.
No. I've never come and asked for a 2% raise. I don't ask for the percentage raise.
Okay. Point of order. Let me just point clear. Point of order.
Also, point of order, which is this. It's not like the board dictates either what's the raise that's going to be given to the teachers either. That's a matter of fact.
The teachers make it. Okay.
That's your public statement that the board.
Hold on.
We'll make a recommendation and we vote on it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Is there any way we can clarify this? Because I think this is important.
That's
point.
A very confusing topic right there.
Yeah, that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, because that
what we're not going to do is talk about internal processes within this meeting. If you want to talk after the meeting, fine. But right now, we're going to move on to the next point of business, which is the operations committee. Operations committee.
No report.
I have a couple things I'll add to the operations. So Jesse is working on trying to get the concrete in the courtyard replaced. So he's getting, I think Howard mentioned that earlier in the fall. So he's getting, that's in the outer yard, actually the yard out here. It's concrete there. Also, two classrooms had heater repairs, so we repaired the heaters instead of replacing them. Excuse me, which would have been a higher cost. I'm almost sure Ms. Wingo's room was in Ms. Callahan's room as well.
Yeah.
We had a heater, so we had two heaters repaired, and now we're working on getting lights repaired or replaced in the parking lot, and we're looking at getting halogen lights, long term lights, so that they don't have to replace it often and be more cost effective. Okay, that's it.
How do we look with the brownfields? Is that field ready to be used yet?
Yeah, it looks like there's some patches over there that need to be, so we're hoping. It looks like the grass is growing good, but there's still some bald patches, so we're hoping that we can get a reseeding with that with the landscaper. But it looks like our children are going to have a nice spring and be able to get into a protected piece of property that's long overdue.
Any updates on the roof?
We talked about some leaks. They did have two areas over the, I think, third grade wing on the second floor and maybe fifth grade wing that had to have patched because it looked like some piece of it. And I think, was that repair like $1,000 or so, Ms. Winder? To repair that it was a minimal cost.
And the
ID
system.
The ID, yeah, we did. The gentleman sending me a sample pack.
Okay.
Yeah, no. That's the identity. Identity kitty.
This is badges, I think, in some kind of white
picture. Mm-hmm.
Did the guy from the film system ever call it
mm-hmm.
off? All right, motion to accept the operations committee report.
So moved.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any questions? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. Executive committee certainly once the brownfields are signed off on, we'll be looking at the playground. So we would certainly like you guys input as far as
the kindergarten teachers have been asking me about that playground.
What we want to put out there.
Yes, sir.
And how much of what we want to put out there, whether it be swings or merry-go-rounds or whatever. Whatever is safe.
Yes, sir.
Under new business, I think one of the issues that we certainly need to be put on the radar is the charter school renewal process. I believe that's coming up next year, so we need to sit down and figure out how we're going to handle that process. As far as whether it's going to be in-house, external, or whatever the case is.
So I've reached out on some quotes for consultants on that.
Okay. All right, so we will try to touch base on that with the executive committee next week. Motion for adjournment.
Oh, move to adjourn.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any questions? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
All opposed? Any abstentions?